Our next speaker is Wayne Navarre, who is the Vice President of Exhibitions and Programs at the Liberty Science Center in Jersey City. And Wayne has over 20 years' experience in museum exhibition development and design experiences, so welcome.
Thank you. So, the title of our session is Creative Agency and Programming in Museums and Science Centers. And so I'm going to talk about something called embedded change. And as we look at what creative agency, and in particular, I'm examining exhibition, the exhibition format, when we look at doing exhibition, keeping in mind that we need to be looking at the museums as well as the contents. Context and relevancy is an important aspect, and I think it's critical when we're looking at the concept of climate change. And what I'm about to talk about is, I'm going to use Mike's quest of a clumsy solution as an approach that Liberty Science Center has in part been a part of in that process. So first, let's just look at Liberty Science Center's context and relevancy as part of this equation. So in 1993, Liberty Science Center opened, and when the Science Center opened at that time, its exhibition program was similar to many other science centers in the United States at the time. It was a phenomenological exhibition program, loosely based on the themes of health, invention, and environment. And really, those three themes were seen through these lenses and had exhibitions primarily in the areas of technology, physics, the senses, physiology, and animals. And in thinking about those, and in thinking about the complexity of climate change and the interrelationship, as we've seen in many of these talks over the past day and a half, about the ideas of science plus culture as emerging in climate change, it seems that classic science centers, those phenomenologically based, where Liberty Science Center is or was, are hard-pressed to deliver an issue in climate change cohesively. In other words, what I mean by that is if we plop an exhibition like many of the climate change exhibitions, but I'm sure here in Australia and other parts of the United States, in the middle of an exhibition program that, to just draw a connection, like the Exploratorium in San Francisco, it stands out as an oddball compared to the rest of the exhibition program. And in fact, my guess is that the Exploratorium in San Francisco has not done a purely climate change exhibition for that very purpose. They are approaching the idea of science in a wholly, totally different process. But in 2007, the new Liberty Science Center opened, and we had re-looked at the exhibition program. And it was thematically organized, not on those basic phenomena of science, but more on themes that were brought together science and society in different ways. And these are just a couple of the shots. Upper left is communication, upper right is skyscraper. Lower left is Infection Connection, and lower right is R. Hudson Home. Now, what are common about these four exhibition themes that we approached in the Science Center? Well, they had some common aspects. First, at that point in time, and even more increasingly in the United States, the use of science, technology, engineering, and math curriculum standards are an essential part of any exhibition program in the States. In other words, because a large part of our audience is school children, the fact that teachers can find relative connection between the curriculum they're teaching and the content in the exhibition is critically important. Second, all of these themes have connections to daily life. R. Hudson Home looked at the Port of New York and New Jersey along with the river ecosystem. Skyscrapers looks at the tall buildings that inhabit New York City and increasingly New Jersey. Infection Connection and Communication do similar things. As well, they also provide a perspective on a global topic. So while they certainly have local context and relevancy, they also allowed us to touch on to some global subjects as part of the process. And most, not most important, but critical to all of this, and something that we should always keep in mind is any of these exhibitions need to be funded. And so there needs to be resource connections to enable us to actually pull off creating exhibition in a science center. But finally, and something not to be forgotten, is why our audience comes to the science center as well. And John Falk in his research over the years has certainly proven over and over again that people come to the science museum for two reasons. They either come to learn something, they're looking for an educational experience with their family, friends, and they're looking to be entertained and have fun. And these are not, they're not exclusive of each other. They're looking for both all of the time. Now, when I say fun, I don't want everyone to think about carnival or circus. Oh, we can use fun and say, I think they're looking to have learning and also an emotional impact as part of their experience at a science center or a museum. So, while climate change, while cohesively attainable in such a format at Liberty Science Center, did not match the opening suite of experiences for LSE's thematic structure. And mainly that was because as we developed the Science Center at that point in time, we were looking for a variety of reasons, whether they be resource reasons or other more mundane reasons as part of the Science Center's evolution, the idea of doing one of these themes on climate change did not happen to raise its head during this process of reimagining the exhibition program at that time. But certainly as we progressed through working through these, we were even increasingly aware of the issue of climate change. So what would be the best thematic approach to address climate change if we wanted to as part of our process at the Science Center? Something we began to discuss inside the exhibition group. I'll pause there. Now let's look at climate change context and relevancy. And I think this is an important thing to marry when we're thinking about not just our exhibitions, not just the museum, but also the content we find. And while we probably mentioned this over and over again, climate change is increasingly polarized and political, and this just was evidenced again in a recent study that just came out, I believe, last week by the University of either Michigan State or University of Michigan, I can find a reference if you'd like, that looked at the politicization of climate change in the United States. So, recent work from comparing 2001 to 2010 shows that the divide about climate change is increasing in the United States dramatically. And that Republicans, or conservatives in the United States, have increased disbelief that global warming has already begun from 49% in 2001 to 29% in 2010, while Democrats are on the rise about believing climate change has already begun a global warming from 60% to 70%. And the gap between the believers on either side has grown from 11% in 2001 to 41% by last year. And in fact, if you look at college degrees, if you're a liberal or a Democrat and you have a college degree, you're likely to agree that about the scientific consensus of global warming. But if you're a Republican and have a college degree, you're likely to disagree with the scientific consensus. And so what we see is that even though you might be highly educated, your political views are actually polarizing your belief in climate change and global warming. So climate change content, I believe, and something that meaning to be wrestled with when people come to museums will be increasingly seen through perspectives shaped by other venues, so, media, political parties, etc. So it brought forth the question for me of can we address climate change content and limit tripping over these individuals and preconceived beliefs in some way? How might we do that? Well, I also think we need to look at climate change in one's life to also think about this, and this is in particular when you're thinking about the idea of an exhibition, which is a very personal or working with friends or family on the process. And to be aware about risk, we've talked about risk from a science perspective, but to talk a little bit about from a psychological perspective a little bit, is that our understanding and our the way we assess risk as human beings, according to the American Psychological Association, is evolutionary, older, automatic, and fast. The idea of risk, I just presented what some of us might have perceived as risk a long time ago. This is when our ideas of risk in our brain were developed. And so when we think about how individuals are looking at climate change, keeping in mind how we assess risk as human beings is critically important. And that human evolution and the perspectives of risk do not lend themselves to the climate change issue naturally, something we should be aware of. In other words, climate change is a long-term issue. And risk, as human beings, we assess risk to more recent events that are going to occur in the short term, not the long term, ones that are not abstract, but we assess risk as with real things. We also assess risk better when we've had personal experience with the risk versus relying on experts. And since climate change is in a topic that we have to rely on experts to interpret the dangers from most of us from a personal perspective, it's hard for us to assess that as risk. And then when we define risk as human beings, we define it as a feeling. And obviously when we look at climate change, it's more of an analytical process. So all of these sort of battle against this concept of us finding risk in the idea of climate change and thus us wanting to do something about it. In fact, the solutions are often more risky to us than the idea of climate change. The idea that I may have to cut something back or stop them doing something or other things, or they may have economic impacts to my personal life are seen as more immediate threats than climate change. So to tackle climate change, immediacy and relevancy in time, place, and then maybe with loved ones is a key aspect. So bringing that personal nature to climate change in exhibition, I think, is important for us to make some sort of, to sort of engage people with the process. So what we have, through our clumsy solution, is to embed climate change in our thematic exhibitions in a way where we're not specifically doing an exhibition on climate change, rather, we're talking about other issues, and I think this has been mentioned in a variety of ways a little bit over the past 2 days. But it seems that we have explicitly and implicitly at the Science Center made this our approach. So we interpret aspects of climate change within the themes that matches LSE approach. So when we're looking at these issues, looking at an issue within another theme, making sure we use those same categories I talked about before, STEM, connection to daily life, global topics, resource connections. This is how we're approaching the process. So just some examples that I want to, Emlyn briefly showed some images here, where we've done this. One primary way is through an exhibition we call Breakthroughs, which is an exhibition that's designed to be changed over and over again, but reuses the structure of the exhibition. So what you're seeing here in some ways is a sustainable green solution to actually talking about current issues. The physical structures which you'll see in these slides are always the same ones. The graphics and interactives have been changed over time. So this is an opening suite that we did for the polar year. There was a lot of polar science here. Exhibitions, for example, on putting your face in, looking like you're an explorer in the Red Parka down in Antarctica, to being a penguin, to there were exhibits on your carbon footprint. So embedded in this process of examining the science of looking at the poles, we used climate change as embedded. In terms of doing one on water, which this looks at too much water and too little water in various parts of the world, we also have climate change related experiences. And as mentioned, Emmeline briefly showed slides, when we did an exhibition about the U.S. presidential election and looked at issues of science in the presidential election, climate change or energy policy combination was there as well. Finally, I would also say in these other exhibitions, we also have them involved in our other permanent exhibitions in our Hudson home, looking at environmental change on the Hudson River, in skyscrapers, looking at green skyscrapers and its impact. So looking at other issues that in the end will have positive aspects about the climate. Finally, as Emmeline mentioned, the Liberty Science Center is going through a renovation in terms of its making energy. It's putting a vast array of solar panels on the Science Center and managing energy, and this again will be another way in which we have that context. So just in conclusion, our goal is to present climate change through thematic themes to find a connection to their personal life. It shows that it impacts them. It approaches the issue from non-traditional political perspectives. It is more immediate from a time perspective because of that risk issue. And it has opportunity for intertemporal discounting, which I'll just explain is that if you tell people there's something's coming like climate change, so you'll have to reduce this, your immediate response is, I don't want to cut back. And then you might think later about the positives of that. If you, by doing these other issues, you can think about the positives first, and then you're less likely to think about not wanting to change. Some of the final awarenesses, we still have to evaluate this process. This is not meant, we still have to study whether we're making, can people connect these experiences, can they connect into the themes, but I think there's a promise there. And also, this approach has some ideas of stealth advocacy. It addresses climate change through a backdoor, not head on in some ways, and it reflects one position, it allows one position to be reflected in, are we being advocates of a position on another issue that then affects climate change from only a one-sided perspective? Thank you very much.